occupational therapist and a certified aging in place specialist. And this is the Home Designs for Life podcast, your resource for aging in place and universal design. For more resources on aging in place, please visit my website, homedesignsforlife.com. There you will find my blog and more valuable information on how you can age in place and create a home for life. Hello, everyone, and thank you for being with me today. My guest is Ron Gold. He is a former managing director at Barclays and at Lehman Brothers. He is CEO of Lean On We. He also is a public speaker, and he talks about overcoming adversity. And he received an honorary doctorate from Monmouth College. Ron, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Janet.
Yes, I am interested in listening to your story. We connected on LinkedIn. Ron heard me on Ryan McKenna's podcast and reached out to me. And I read a little bit about his story and was very interested in learning more.
Okay, I can tell my story. As you said, I had a 25-plus year career on Wall Street running a couple equity desks. I was also an avid athlete, an avid weekend warrior, so to speak. And 11 and a half years ago, on Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, I was riding my bicycle with a group of friends. We were almost home, a few miles to go, when all of a sudden, an out-of-control SUV comes veering right into me. She actually hit my buddy Zach first, then me. And that was a big change. It was a life-changing, catastrophic event for me because she was going 40 miles per hour into me and I was going 20 miles per hour in the other direction. And as you can imagine, we're really not meant to sustain that kind of collision. I was immediately medevaced to the hospital, but was not expected to survive. And in case you're listening, I obviously did. But I woke up weeks later from an induced coma, only to find out I was now a paraplegic.
I see. And how is your friend? You mentioned your friend Zach was also hit.
Yeah, he shattered his pelvis and he had a hip replacement, which is not a good thing. But in the grand scheme of things, he was much better off than I was. And he's doing well now. Thanks.
It's amazing how you had such a catastrophic injury, and then his was really not that terrible.
She caught me flush, and she didn't catch him flush. My eyes were on his rear wheel. We were in a pace line. I didn't even see her because I'm just looking at his wheel so I don't go into him. All of a sudden, I heard him scream, and I looked up, and she's coming right at me, and I had no time to avoid her.
Wow. Ron, tell us what has happened since the day of the accident. Tell us about how your life has unfolded since.
Sure, Jen. I woke up, like I said, weeks later, only now to discover I was paraplegic. And I can't begin to express how challenging that was, because it would be true for anyone, but particularly me. I was all about being fit and doing sports and traveling. I traveled extensively for work. And they did say that the fact that I was in such good shape saved my life. I was 2 months in ICU, 3 months in rehab, and then I came home to try and figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
And at this point, you're married. Do you have kids?
Yes. I was married. I still am married. I have three daughters. They were all in their teens. And it was really difficult on them. Actually, my oldest had just started college. She came home for a period of time, and they were all there really to support me in any way I needed.
That's wonderful. So you definitely, you had a lot going on even prior to the accident. Now you're paraplegic. Can you tell me at what level is your
12?
Teach. Okay.
I have use of my arms and my fingers. and all that, but not my legs at all.
How did you manage? What happened that has brought you to where you are today?
There was no one thing. I have to say, I wasn't handling it very well when I came home. Like I said, I was used to being so independent and doing so many things. And there I was sort of stuck at home and couldn't do much at all. I became really frustrated. And then I was sort of stuck in this bad downward spiral of why me, why me? Why did this happen to me? What were the chances? The odds of her hitting me at the exact moment that we were cycling by. And it was not a productive attitude. And finally, my wife said to me, "Why not you? Bad stuff just happens to people all the time." And that really was not the tender loving care I was looking for my wife, but it was exactly what I needed to hear. She emphasized that my kids still needed me to be the father that I had always been. And they didn't need me to kick the soccer ball or help them with homework, but they did need me to be a father and to teach them how to handle whatever life throws at you. And those sorts of things and those sorts of comments from my wife really struck a chord with me. I realized I needed to make a change, and I didn't know what it was going to be, but I needed to sort of accept what had happened and move on and make the best of it.
Yeah. So tell us more. How did you do that?
Well, I decided that I didn't want to go back to my job on Wall Street. It would have been very challenging because I couldn't travel as much, and even getting into the office would be problematic. And there really wasn't a whole infrastructure built around working from home back then. Like I said, it was 11 years ago. And I now needed home care. I have a chronic wound to deal with and other consequences of the injury. And now I needed home care. And so my first frustration was, I expected that my good private health insurance from Barclays was going to pay for home care indefinitely. That's not the case. I now know full well how private health insurance and Medicare work. And they only provide home care for a short period of time immediately upon discharge. So that was the first thing. And then I found out that home care was very, and more than that, the caregivers who provide the care are lucky if they earn about half of what you pay the agency. And it's not that the agency is milking the system. There are a lot of embedded costs in running an agency, and it makes it very expensive. And I could see that many people, maybe even most people, would rather hire a caregiver on their own. But there's no good way to go ahead and do that. So my wife and I had this idea to come up with a way to match families looking for home care with a caregiver. And that's what we did. We started a company called Lean on We, because when you need care, you need someone to lean on. And what we do is we do all the homework for you when you want to hire caregiver privately. And I can go more into that if you'd like me to do that.
Yes, I would.
All right. So what we do is we start a network of caregivers. And in this network, we meet each caregiver and we get the references on the caregiver. We verify the licenses. We take a fingerprint, send it to the FBI. We do an online interview. We shoot an online profile and we put that online on our website. So now you have all this information on these caregivers, and you have the peace of mind that we've given them the strongest possible background check you can get. And this is not necessarily home care for people like me who have had injuries earlier. It's generally for your parents and grandparents as they age, and they need care, and they may not want to use a home care agency for any number of reasons. We have a really strong alternative because people need a.
So I think what you're referring to is non-skilled care.
Correct.
Versus skilled care.
Non-medical, yes.
So for people that don't understand the difference, skilled care is when you have services like an occupational therapist, a nurse, a physical therapist, or a speech therapist come to your home. That's considered skilled care. And unskilled care is more of the caregiving, which is helping someone with bathing or preparing meals or having someone be there and providing caregiving services. So that's what Lean on We is based on.
Right. It's, you know, studies say as many as 90% of the Americans would prefer to age at home. And we help them do that because over time they may need help at home. Maybe it's doing errands, going to the doctor, managing more easily at home, or it may be something more significant than that. And one of the big problems with home care in this country is that the caregivers are paid really poorly. And partially for that reason, there's a shortage of caregivers. And by using Lean on We or hiring a caregiver directly, now the caregiver is earning a lot more money, even though you're paying less. And that has allowed us to attract an extensive selection of highly qualified caregivers. That's a big differentiator.
That is amazing because I know that, well, it depends where you live in the country. It can cost upwards of $40 an hour.
Correct. Really expensive.
Yes. And there's always a minimum number of hours that you have to hire, have the caregiver at your home. What would be the cost through Lean on We?
So you said $35 or $40 an hour. If you hire a caregiver, and that caregiver is lucky to earn teen. If you hire a caregiver through Lean on We at, let's say, pay $24 an hour, now you're way better off. And yet that caregiver who was making 16 or 18 is now making 24. They're much better off too. It's a better situation for all concerned.
And how do you attract caregivers to your platform?
We attract them because these are the private hire jobs they want. Like I said, they can earn more money, and it's more empowering to work directly for the family that you're caring for. And they prefer that.
And how do they learn about your agency?
Okay. We advertise initially, but they have extensive networks and word of mouth. They tell each other, oh, that's where you can get the kind of job that you're looking for. And they come to us, which is great. One of the things we're doing now, we realize that we've become this invaluable resource for people considering different things. And what we've done, we've partnered with our local Care Patrol franchisee, and we can help people with home care, but now we also can help them if they choose to move into an assisted living. We can help them find the right one for them because there are so many distinctions in different assisted livings. We want to be able to give people help wherever they are and whatever they're looking for.
That's a great service. Are you located only in the Northeast area or is this nationwide?
It's not nationwide yet. We're just in the greater New York area.
Okay. Well, that's a great option. I hope that you can grow your company because it's obviously very needed. And as you said, there is a shortage of caregivers, not just because the pay is not where it should be, but just because everyone is getting older too. So those caregivers that we're relying on are also getting older, not able to provide the caregiving. It's a real conundrum that we're in.
It is. One of the things we're also looking at, you remember when you were speaking with Ryan from Well Care, I guess it was a couple of months ago, they've got a service with a fall detection device they put on the wall. And that's something we're looking at very seriously as well, because we know because home care is expensive, many people can't get 24-hour care if that's what they truly need. And the family wants to have the peace of mind of having a fall detection device like that in case their loved one falls, and wearable, because people really don't like to fall detection devices or, you know, I fell and I can't get up kind of thing.
Yeah. And then you have to rely on the person remembering to wear it. Then you have the additional problem that I would run into as an OT doing home health, helping the person with bathing tasks. And then you have to remove it because it couldn't get wet. So now you're removing it at one of the most crucial times when most falls occur in the bathroom, now you don't have it on.
So it's not really doing much good now, is it?
No. And there's so much technology out there now that you don't have to wear a wearable. It can just exist in your home.
Right. Liberating, actually.
Yes, very liberating. Tell me about your public speaking engagements and where you are with that, where you want to go.
I started speaking in front of groups, sometimes schools and other groups, about my story and how I overcame my challenges or how I've been able to carry on. And as an example, an old client of mine invited me to deliver a commencement address at his school, Monmouth College, in Southern Illinois. And I found it empowering to be able to speak to groups about my story and what I've learned about moving on from really a catastrophic accident. And I enjoy speaking to people because I think I have insights to share and people find it rewarding. And I've found to be something where I can really add value to people and make something good out of this situation that happened to me.
In Georgia, our former congressman, which died a few years ago, John Lewis, he was also a famous civil rights activist.
Sure.
And he said in an interview that when something terrible happens to you, we often ask, why did this happen to me, just as you did? And what we should be asking is, why did this happen for me? And I thought those words were so powerful because we all experience adversity, not in the form of a catastrophic accident like you did, but for example, my father died when I was in my 20s. That was, even though I wasn't a child anymore, it was still very difficult for me. And I had just gotten divorced. I was a single mom. And I experienced a lot of adversity from those events happening in my life. And then other people experience it through other ways. It could be a physical disability, an illness, a learning disability. One experiences adversity at some point or another in their lives. And it's so powerful to be able to do something with it instead of it bringing you down.
I totally agree. Everybody has challenges. That was the sort of lesson I was teaching my daughters, that hopefully they don't experience anything as severe as I have, but they will have challenges. Everybody will. And if I can help people get beyond that in any way, I want to do that because I'm making a difference.
Ron, what do you think your purpose is?
It's an interesting question because I know some people, when they experience something like this, they feel that was their purpose in life. Now, I don't think this happened for any particular reason or any particular purpose, but now that it did happen, I think it has given me purpose. And I am finding ways to help people lift themselves and draw strength from their own power and their own thoughts and push on beyond their challenges. And I've been surprised how much of an impact I can have. And I want to continue to do that and do more of it.
I think you should. I think you should start a podcast, Ron.
I may do that.
It's a powerful way to reach people all over the world and get your message out there and network with other people who may be interested in giving you a bigger platform.
Agreed.
So tell us, what are your plans for Lean On Week?
Our plan is to continue to grow. And really, that's about getting the word out, letting people know that there's another option. Like I said before, home care agencies, that they're very useful and they serve an important need. But people deserve options. And this is another way to go about finding care if that's what you need. And for many people, it's superior. And it's a challenging thing to age and have some of your independence diminished. And anything we can do to make it easier and less of a change for people, the better off we all are.
And Ron, since this podcast focuses on home modification and helping people stay at home for as long as possible, after you experienced this catastrophic injury and your abilities changed, how did you manage in your environment? What changes had to be made in your environment so that you could continue to function and be more independent?
Yeah, that was an important point, Janet. Thanks for bringing that up. My bedroom was on the second floor, and I could no longer get up there. We put a ramp in the garage to enable me to get to the main floor. That worked pretty well, but I think everybody is surprised how much ramp space you need, even for a relatively small lift. And so it had to sort of swing all the way around the garage in order to get me up. But we were able to do that. But once I was on the ground floor, I couldn't get to my bedroom. So we converted a den into a bedroom, and we had to take a shower door off the shower in order to allow me to get into the bathrooms. It was a lot of doings, and work you do and with those sorts of modifications are crucial. I mean, for sure, I had a big modification, but even the smaller things that we see our clients doing in order to make the home safer and putting grab bars and opening them aisles and changing knobs. And one last thing I'll say is the microwave had to be put down lower so I could reach it. There's so many different things to think about, which is why the work the occupational therapists and design people like you do, Janet, is invaluable. And people just don't fully appreciate all the little things.
Could you tell me about how much it cost you and your family to make these modifications?
I wish I could, but I can't remember. You know, I was still, I have to say, and this was shortly after I was discharged. Actually, some of it was even before I was discharged. And I was still in a bit of a haze, coming to terms with what had happened. Those 5 months sort of flew by in my mind that I was in hospital and rehab. So I can't really tell you.
Okay. Do you know if your insurance company or the woman who hit you, her insurance company, paid for any of the modifications?
She didn't really have much, so it wouldn't have been her. I think some of it was paid for, but not most of it.
Okay. Are you still making changes? Do you find that certain activities or tasks are more challenging and you're making modifications?
I'm trying to think. Well, you know, I have a ramp out the back in order to go outside, and that ramp keeps settling into the ground, and then the ramp becomes too much of a gap. So we have to keep adjusting that ramp every year. That's a relatively minor thing, but that's certainly something we do. And that's all that I would say.
Okay. I want to ask you a little bit about your career as an executive on Wall Street, because that's pretty significant. So I think you've had several things happen in your life that are significant. Your career, for one, you're a successful executive on Wall Street, this catastrophic injury. How do you think that what you did prior to this injury, your career, how did that help you deal with your life after the injury?
And I think I have a personality of sort of can do and really driven to make something happen. And I've been able to work around numerous challenges in my career. So For example, I'm showing my age, but I was working. I had just started working in the 1987 stock market crash, and my firm quickly, E.F. Hutton, went under, and I had to find another job fairly quickly in a really difficult environment. And then I was at Lehman Brothers working on 9/11 when we were right next to the World Trade Center when they went down, and we were never even able to get back into our building, and we were homeless, and then we had eventually found new office space, Midtown, New York, in a different area. And then I was also working at Lehman Brothers when Lehman Brothers went under in 2008. We were the only bank that was not saved. And I lost 5 years of compensation. My equity became worthless. And yet I still moved on. I joined Barclays and my career actually went to new heights. I have a track record professionally in managing challenges as they come. Nothing remotely like what I happened when I was hit by a car, but still it's indicative of the smaller challenges that are crucial and important to us that we all face. And I think that helped gear me for this, which was my biggest challenge ever.
It sounds like you've experienced adversity at many different levels throughout your life. And I think many other people can connect with that because adversity and ups and downs are just a normal part of living. That's why I always say to my daughter, when you have a reason to celebrate, celebrate, because you don't know what, you know, tomorrow will bring.
Those are wise words.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I really enjoyed having you on my show. This was a great conversation. I'm glad that you were able to come and tell your story because it's such a powerful story that we can all learn from. And now we know that your company exists, Lean on We, which is a great resource for people who want to hire non-skilled care and may not be able to afford hiring an agency. So this is a great platform, and I really hope that you will start a podcast because I think that we can learn a lot from you and you have a lot to share.
Thanks so much, Janet. I really enjoyed this.